Hey listener, we had some technical difficulties with our mic during this recording, but we hope you still enjoy our discussion on Kim's Convenience.
Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Marissa.
Welcome back, Marissa, to the Bingeables Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. Everyone, as you've known, if you heard the previous episode, Marissa is one of my dear friends and she is joining us today so we can talk about the Canadian family comedy Kim's Convenience by Inns Choi.
And just a heads up, there will be spoilers in this one, so if you're not wanting any, just think about that.
Okay, so we'll just dig right in. I wasn't really sure how to do this outline because, like, we could go in so many different directions with Kim's Convenience. So I figured maybe we can just start off, like, a little more basic. And then if we, like, go on into tangents, that's totally fine, too.
Okay, cool.
So I start off with our favorite characters. So I picked my two top favorites. And then I also just went back and I went ahead and chose two customers. They're people you just see come into the store, but... okay, so Kimchi is my favorite supporting character. He is the best. He's that funny best friend who can't adult, but is trying to adult sometimes. But, you know, you can still rely on him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's definitely there for, like, comedic effect.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's funny that we never really know his first name. Jung just calls him Kimchi. Everyone just calls him Kimchi.
Yeah.
And we just never know what his full name is.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. What are some of your thoughts on Kimchi?
Yeah. I feel like I'm, like, okay with him, even though, kind of like you said, he doesn't really know how to adult. So there definitely are sometimes things he says where it's just like, what the heck? Like, but yeah, no, I think he's funny and, like, ultimately he, like you said, he's still, like, reliable and is, like, a good friend to Jung, and you know, the way he'll, like, interact with their, like, parents and things like that is still...
Oh yeah, one of my favorite things about Kimchi is that the way he says the Korean word that he calls appa is because appa is not his father, right? Appa is Jung's father, but for Kimchi, he calls him Ajushi. And, like, every time he says it, I'm just like, oh, that's so endearing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like I'm used to this. It's a cultural thing, right? So, like, in Taiwanese culture, because I'm from Taiwan, I guess this applies to other East Asian cultures, but I, like, don't quote me on that. There are specific terms that you use to address different family members. So, like obviously I address my older sisters differently from, say, they would address me, the younger sister.
Okay.
Same with, like, older brother, younger brother. I call my mom mama and I call my dad papa. That's pretty, like, on the nose, like, mom, dad. But, like, if you have different words for, say, aunt and uncle, oh, like, there's a word for, like, aunt on the mom's side and then aunt on the dad's side. And, yeah, so it's just every time I hear Kimchi call appa Ajushi, like, it's just he says it in such a happy way. He's always smiling. Mm-hmm. Like, he genuinely misses seeing his Ajushi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I've always liked the way he's, like, very respectful and how he talks to them. It just kind of makes it feel like he's more, like, part of the family and he's, like, just, like, respectful of that and isn't kind of, like, I don't know, like, a Kimmy, you know, who, like, they don't really like them being around.
Oh, and There's the one episode, I think this was in season two, where Janet and Jung's cousin come to visit again, and she brought like a box of letters that Janet had written
Oh,
to her
yeah.
when they were really little, right? And in one of the letters, Janet was telling her cousin how she had a huge crush on Kimchi and that she liked his ears or something. And then like eventually like Kimchi finds out, but he's just like, oh, that's so cute. And then like later he sleeps with the
Which, like, at least I don't know about you, but at least for me, like, I feel like we kind of like saw it coming. Like, once Janet was like, oh no, like, I don't like him anymore, I was like, I kind of feel like something's gonna happen.
cousin. Oh, and another thing I like about Kimchi, this is more like on a story per from a story perspective. He compliments Jung because, you know, they're good friends, right? But obviously they're gonna have fights because this is a TV show. You need conflict, right? And I always like seeing Jung and Kimchi bicker about whatever, whether it's throwing a rager at their apartment or like, oh, well, now I'm assistant manager. You have to respect me. Because, like, he didn't respect Jung when he was assistant manager. So, like, those
Yeah,
dynamics are really cool.
for sure. Yeah, I definitely liked the like character growth we got to see him experience when he be like when the roles were switched and he became assistant manager, and just like I feel like he was more like professional than even Jung was.
Oh yeah, I'll probably think of more kimchi stuff later. Can't think of any more right now, but I will move on to another favorite character of mine is Uma. So Uma comes off as this like calm, collected, very genuinely nice Christian Korean mom lady. You know, like she doesn't just freak out about stuff, and like she understands that her kids are adults now and make their own decisions. And I guess some of this is gonna come from my own experience. So like my mom and I, like we have a good relationship, but like, you know, mothers and daughters, like there's always gonna be fights about whatever stuff that you fight about. So I guess like I always wish that my mom was like a little bit more calm and collected. Like Uma in Kim's Convenience, because like my mom would like worry a lot. She would freak out about stuff. Like she would try to teach me stuff, and I would be like, no. You know, like she'll teach me something, and I'm just like, eh, I disagree. But like I don't want to start a fight, so I'll
Yeah.
just like nod along to avoid an argument and stuff. But Amma is a really nice, cool, collected Asian mother, and I like how she's so involved with the church that they all go to. And it's so funny, like watching her dynamics with the other ladies at the church.
Oh yeah.
Because they're also gossiping.
Yeah, for sure.
Although my family, I wasn't raised Christian or anything, so we like never went to a church. I've been to like maybe like a church one time or twice or something, because I had a college roommate who was very active with her church and her like group of her group.
Maybe you could say church group.
Okay, so she had two groups. I forgot what they were called. There was like one group of her and other adults. And then there was like another group where she like taught scripture to like middle school kids. I forgot what it was called, but she was just super involved. So I had some exposure with that with her. But like it's just so nice to see Emma just like be herself. I don't know. She's funny. She's definitely someone who like calls out Appa's bullshit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's not a tiger mom kind of stereotype, and I like that she's not presented that way. But that doesn't mean she's not fierce in her own way, especially when it comes to like her kids and her husband and the store.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I really liked the storylines that they like gave her, and just kind of like you said, like she doesn't really fulfill like stereotypes. It's kind of more like, you know, she's just kind of like a grown up, and sometimes like, you know, just kind of like taking like her experiences as like an immigrant with like just what she experiences being in Toronto, but like, you know, not fulfill, just kind of like most grown ups, right? It's like you're just a different age, and you're just taking your experiences and kind of like just trying to do the best you can to like adjust with like, you know, how things change.
Oh shit. Okay, I remember. Okay, one of my favorite episodes in season one, I think, was when Janet finds out that Uma sort of dated this other guy
Oh
back in
yeah.
Korea, and then he just shows up at their store,
Yeah.
and he's like, "Oh, your mom's not here. Tell her the dancing bear was here, and she'll know what that means." Dancing bear. Dude, you could have just given her your name.
Yeah, no, I fully loved the whole like random silver fox shows up, and then I thought it was so cute that Janet was like really concerned that he was gonna like break up their whole marriage. Like, just I was like, Janet, like you have no faith in Appa. Like, like he shows up once and she's like, shut it down. But yeah, no, I loved that. I fully like wanted them to go out dancing. I was like disappointed.
Oh, that was good. That was a really good episode. One of the more memorable ones. And then two of my favorite customers. Well, I guess technically Enrique was a customer. Mr. Chin like wasn't technically a customer because like every
Yeah.
time you see him, he's not really buying stuff. He's just like talking with Uppa because they're friends,
Yeah.
and they both own small businesses.
Yeah.
But Enrique, he's funny because like he just wants the best for Appa, but he also understands that Appa just needs time to like grow onto his personality because Appa doesn't normally vibe with people like him, but he gets it and he's like totally ready to be patient. He's just such a chill Zen dude. And he's funny and he's got that mustache. And every time I see him, I just can't stop laughing. This stupid mustache.
Yeah, no, he's hilarious. Like ever even since like I think like when he first shows up in like the beginning of the show, and he like didn't want to give him like the discount. And like I don't, yeah, like you said, like he's, even though like I feel like they're like opposites, and that, you know, Enrique's like super kind of like happy and like affectionate, and like Appa's like not, but he's still willing.
Affectionate, that's the word I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mr. Chin, so I can't remember what he owns. I know Mr. Mehta is the other friend. He
Yeah.
owns an Indian buffet restaurant.
Oh, okay. He's the
Yeah,
one with the restaurant then.
I forgot what Mr. Chin.
Yeah.
I think
He's always
I
talking about
think
his dog.
he talks about his dog, and that's
I
what
just
I
know about
love about
Ginger.
him. I forgot what he owned, but he always talks about his dog Ginger, and that's the best part about Mr. Chin because he's talking about Ginger all the time, and Appa's like rolling his eyes. He's not actually rolling his eyes, but you can tell he really wants to, but he won't do it because, you know, this is his friend and he wants to be nice.
Yeah, for sure. No, just the way he's always like talking about Ginger, and I don't know, I feel like he's got some interesting like plot points, like when he tries to get Appa to kind of like go on that like date with him
Oh, yeah.
so he could like be his wingman. Like I thought that was like so funny, just because usually like the older adults, you know, they're not dating or anything like that. He would do stuff like that that I thought was
Oh, yeah. And
hilarious.
that's another thing. You don't really see a lot of shows where older characters go out on dates.
Like even if they're single, it's just like it's not a plot point.
Yeah. Those are some of my favorite characters. Marissa, you have the floor.
So I just chose one favorite character, and yeah, I totally chose Appa. I thought he was, I feel like he's like the most funny character on the show, like probably ever since he him and Janet were like arguing because he was like I think he was trying to get like a Toyota towed or something.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, well, you have like a Nikon or whatever. And he's like, oh, but I got it on discount. So like I scammed them. Like just the way he would like really stick to his guns with like stuff like that. Like I thought he was just
And
so funny.
not just that, he just does not like the Japanese people. And he's just got this ingrained dislike for them, and he doesn't want to support their economy. And his he always has a reason to justify for it. And then you just reminded me of something else. There's another episode where remember when Janet got her new phone? So she gave up her old iPhone,
Yeah.
and like he was like, I don't need that thing. I've got my pager. I've got my regular phone. I've got, whatever he had on his belt. And then the easiest way you can convince Appa to adopt to anything is just to impress him with something about Korea. Because she
Yeah.
asked Siri, when did Korea gain their independence? And Siri
Yeah.
answered, and he immediately takes off that belt with the phone and pager.
Yeah. He's all trying to use the assistant. Yeah. For sure that. And then there was, gosh, I feel like I just lost it, but there was something else. Oh, like what you were saying about like Korea, like when there's like a small, like probably like 1 minute part where like she goes on a date with like some guy. And then he like I think he tells him the day like when Korea got their independence. And then like after they leave, he's like, oh, like I'm so glad like you told me that like beforehand or something. Cause she was like, oh, I knew, like she already knew, like if he knew that, then all of a sudden like Apple would be fine with her like going on a date.
Are there any other episodes that you liked with Appa, or do you want to talk about a little bit of his relationships with him and Jung?
Yeah, I did really like him as a like father figure. I really liked, even though just based on like how, you know, him and like Jung's relationship and how it's like strained, you can probably tell like maybe he does have like a pretty like hot-headed side to him. But just like I guess in the show, since I feel like they don't really showcase that too much. I don't know. It was kind of nice like how there was like a much like later episode where I think like they have like some kind of party like at Handy or something, and Appa comes and like
Oh yeah, it was when it was the end of season two, and Jung finished his GED.
oh okay yeah, they were having like a graduation party and they kind of get into an argument, but even and like Jung's like fuming and still I feel like at least I guess comparing to like my experiences like with Maida, like if I had ever like shouted at him or anything, like it would have been like a whole mess. But I feel like he still was like you know, still trying to like work it, like maybe not work it out, but kind of like make a point and like still have like a conversation and not kind of just matching the tone of like the like him, you know, Jung being upset, which I really liked how he approached that, like even though they had such a strained relationship and I'm sure like Jung probably does a lot of things that he doesn't like. He still didn't let like that get like the better of him or like
He made an effort to communicate better with his estranged son.
Yeah, you could tell he was still approaching him like an adult and not just like this is my child, which I thought was really nice. And also even in there was another episode where they kind of do like this like song performance for church. And he like kind of shows up like in the wings and like I just thought that was so nice because they very much made it seem like a thing where like he wasn't even gonna come at all because like Jung was gonna be there. So I really like how even though they have that strained relationship, you can tell he still does in some way try to make an effort and isn't just kind of like that fully like stoic, just like shut off like parental figure where it's like there's like no hope. But I feel like in a way that's natural and you know feels natural to the show.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up the other episode with the graduation party, because I recently rewatched it, and like it makes me so sad to see them argue like that,
Yeah.
Because in season one, they never really interacted. And then in season two, they slowly start to interact again. And you can see that Amma is having hope that the family is coming back together. And when Uppa and Jung argue at Handy at the graduation party, it's just, I guess it makes me so sad because Jung is upset because of the stuff with Shannon. And then all Uppa wants to do is help. Like he keeps saying, well, what's the matter? Like you can tell me and I can try to help you. Like you said, he was trying to be very patient because he understood his adult son is upset about something. But Jung is also a hothead. He's also going to be he's upset, so he's gonna kind of like take out some of that anger on his father. And I guess it made me sad, but like it was important to see that between in be, this is the immigrant experience, right? Like your parents grew up in another country and they moved here to they gave they made sacrifices and they moved here, whether it's the US or Canada, it doesn't matter. They moved to another country to make a better life for their children. And of course, there's always going to be a disconnect generationally, but there's an additional disconnect because of like just how you communicate. Fuck, I don't know what it's called. There's a word
Like
for it.
culturally?
Cultural, well, yeah, culturally. Damn, I know there's some sociological term for it, and I can't remember. There's just this communication disconnect because like I kind of experience it whenever I argue with my mom because like she doesn't understand English completely. And like she doesn't speak it, but she understands some words and she'll understand sometimes when I speak in English because I'm using simple words. I'm not using hard words around her. And then for me, like I know basic Mandarin. I can speak enough with my family, but not really so much to like hold a conversation with like strangers. So like I don't know that much Mandarin. She doesn't know that much English. So my mom and I have this like communication disconnect. So it kind of makes our arguments even harder to watch. Like if I was on TV, like it would just be hard to watch because like you would know what I'm saying and you would understand what the mom is saying, but like us two, mother and daughter, it's hard to talk, right? So like sometimes we need like someone to like help moderate. So like if my dad knew what I was saying, he would kind of help translate for my mom. Yeah. So I think this is kind of that sort of situation, except Uppa and Jung, they're just alone, so there's no moderator. Yeah, so although I mean in this case they're both speaking English, but it's not the exact same situation, but
Definitely the generational disconnect is there for sure. Like when he was like, oh, why aren't you more okay with people, offering you help? And like clearly, however, like Jung view that is in a way that's like really offensive. And now he's like, well, I don't even remember what he said, but I was just like, how did we get here? So yeah, for sure, like that generational like disconnect. And like you said, like, he's coming from the experience of like having come from another country. So like even like just with parents in general, it's like, they have a certain way of viewing like just like how you're supposed to act like in society. And so, like when their kids do things, like I think for Jung, maybe it had something to do with like him getting arrested or something,
Oh
or
when he ran away, he also stole from the convenience
there we
store
go.
and then he got arrested.
Yeah, for sure. And so like, and I feel like for a lot of families where it's like they have parents from different cultures, like
Oh, and that's like considered shame.
Like it can create a much bigger rift with like family because of like you were saying, like, there's like shame with kind of like probably more things in American society. It's kind of like, okay, that happened, but like not just it's just kind of like another thing that somebody does that can definitely contribute that. So it's kind of nice that the show shows that because I'm sure there's plenty of other people who kind of have that similar thing going on that's not they can't relate to on TV usually.
Yeah. Were your parents immigrants as well, or did they grow up here?
They grew up here, yeah. So our disconnect is very much more like generational and just them having grown up like, you know, like very like Catholic and in a time that was just like more conservative. So it can just be hard for them to just grasp kind of like regular everyday things people do, like dating, like because in like the Catholic world it's much more kind of like, you know, you see somebody you like and you kind of like talk to them and then you kind of
You're
already
using
decide.
air
Oh
quotes when you say
yeah.
talk.
Yeah.
Can you explain the air quotes?
Yeah, well, because it's kind of like I feel like if you were talking to somebody, I guess who maybe doesn't get this, like, and like the at least they're like the religious one, they say like, oh, you're like talking to somebody in like the air quotes. It's kind of more equates to like dating, but in the like I guess I'll call it church world, even though I know not everybody's church is like the same or anything. It kind of more equates to dating. So like, basically, you talk to them or whatever, and then you're kind of supposed to decide beforehand, sort of like, hey, I'm gonna date you, but like, if things go well, like we're getting married, like kind of more with the intentions of like getting married and not like, you know, just like dating casually or like seeing where things go, like bachelor, like stuff like that. They're just like, this is crazy. You know, like kind of like just regular everyday things like that, like just dating casually is something where they're just kind of like, what?
So your parents are just a little more old school when it
For
comes to
sure.
romance.
Yeah, romance and like I feel like, or like weed, right? Like that's the thing that's becoming much more like less taboo and like they're kind of like
More normalized, like I know some states have legalized marijuana, so it's okay to have that around. It's not like a thing anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, or just like I don't know, like going out at night, it's like it seems like crazy. So just kind of like more old school stuff. So there's still definitely like disconnect, but it's more like generational, but definitely still where it's like you kind of clash on like everyday things, like living alone or
Are there, to tie this back to Kim's Convenience, are there ever scenes that you see on the show where you're just like, man, that's me and my parents, or oh, that's me and my sibling, like things that you can also relate to?
Yeah, I would say the whole thing kind of like I feel like the first season like with Jung and his parents because it was very like unsaid, you kind of like you kind of knew something happened pretty much that he stole the whole really like not talking thing when you know like there's a conflict instead of trying to hash it out was very much like something I related to because like definitely like I like me and my parents had like a conflict and for a really long time I was kind of doing that same thing where I was like, oh, I'm just kind of not gonna hang out with them.
Like you just avoid them like Jung did, but like
Yeah.
if you needed anything, you had to wait in.
Yeah, pretty much like it was very like sparse and kind of just like avoiding it altogether to avoid the conflict because it's like you know it's like you're the child so it feels weird having like an adult conversation with them. And it did take me a while too, like to kind of come around the corner and like do that.
Yeah.
So just that whole thing in general.
So moving on to favorite seasons. So I mentioned how I really liked Jung and Uppa's storyline in the first two seasons. So they're actually my two favorite seasons. There are some good episodes in three, four, and five, but I don't know. I feel like, and I bring this argument all the time. Well, not all the time, but whenever appropriate, depending on the show Isaac and I talk about. But like, depending on the number of episodes, or sorry, number of seasons there are in the show, like after a certain point, it just starts to go downhill because you start to see like repeat stuff, or it's like obvious that the writers don't really know what direction they're going in. So I kind of felt that way after like a little bit in season three, but like definitely when we got to season four and five. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, for sure. Especially five, like it almost felt like maybe it was gonna go a certain way towards like the end of season four, and then in season five they just kind of like throwing out all these other little ideas, I feel like, and it was just kind of like, whoa, like what's happening with these, like I have no idea where this character is going to go now or like what they're going to do.
We'll save some of that for the next section. Because I think I know what you're talking about. But yeah, for sure. End of season one, another reason why I like one and two. End of season one, that we are introduced to Pastor Nina. And I don't know, like, I like the actress, and Pastor Nina just seems like a really chill pastor. But then again, I'm not really involved in that world, so I don't know how many chill pastors there are out there. So I haven't interacted with any, but she's a great character, and she is the most non-judgmental character. And I think, like, part of it is because, not just because she's the pastor leading this church, but also because she genuinely believes the best in people. And she also has some really good scenes with Umma and Uppa, because there's like that one episode where something's going on at her place or something, so she needed to stay somewhere, and Umma offered, and then like she's staying in Janet's old room.
Yeah.
And Umma finds the condoms.
Yeah. Just like the whole way they handled that, and like when her and Appa were kind of like discussing like what she might have done, and like cracking all these jokes because she was like, oh, I'm tired, and they were like, oh, what are you doing, like like, but yeah, she was kind of like cool about it, because they kind of both were like, oh, like we don't want to embarrass anybody, so like
it's like it's not our business, but we found this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought that was really cool of Pastor Nina to like, you know, when Janet came in and was like, oh, hey, like these might be yours or whatever, and as opposed to being like, hey, everybody, oh my God, look what I found, let's go pray for her, like
oh yeah, oh my God, yeah, no, that would not have been in character.
Yeah, so I like that she doesn't create like religious trauma.
But yeah, the first two seasons were definitely my favorite. Season three is still good, but I wouldn't call it my favorite. Season three is where things changed a little bit on set, because we learn at the beginning that the Handy branch from the first two seasons mm-hmm. got merged with another Handy branch. Oh, so, okay. Like, the set changed for the workplace.
Oh, okay.
Because Shannon's office and Kimchi's office, like, mm-hmm. it's that nicer glass now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, shit, I totally forgot to talk about Terrence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love how Kimchi is always dunking on Terrence. It's like, yeah, he's blaming Terrence for everything, and like most of the time, like, Terrence doesn't do shit, like he's just being blamed.
Yeah, he's definitely just kind of, I don't know, I guess if anybody's familiar with The Office, he's kind of like the Toby, I feel like, or it's like he's not really hurting anybody, and he's like actually like pretty like sweet and wholesome, and he's like a hard worker. But still, like, everyone's like, ugh, like, even, like, Shannon, like, you know, like, I just thought that was, like, so funny.
And he's one of those characters who shares too much.
Oh, yeah,
for so, sure. Like, he lives with his mom or I something. Think so. And then, yeah, like, not that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with living with your parents, but I don't know, he just says random shit about himself, and nobody yeah. gives a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, there was that whole thing in one episode where, like, he said something happened to him, and he made, like, this huge melodramatic scene in the break room, because I remember they were mad at Kimchi for, like, not being, like, sympathetic or something, because he was taking a phone call, like, so, yeah, like you said, very, like, you know, open with, like, his private life to the other employees.
Oh my God, do you remember the episode where I think this was season three, I'm not sure, but it was Kimchi and Shannon were trying to address Terrence about his clothing, because his tights were too short. His shorts were too tight. Yeah.
And they were really tiny. They were like, I don't know, like barely covering everything important. Like you can see like this whole legs.
And like they didn't know how to talk to him about it, but
Yeah.
like I guess did they give him, I forgot, I did not rewatch this one, but did they just give him new pants for work? But he was like, oh, my mom like helped me
Like hem them.
hem them, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of what happened. I think they tried to give him other ones and then like he did the same thing and I don't remember how they tied it up, but yeah, I thought that was super funny because even like having been a retail manager, like sadly like that kind of relates because there would be times where like employees dress like that and you're like, I don't want to be harassing anybody, but or no, I think they tried to say like it's like pants day or something, but then like yeah, like he like maybe like hemmed them using air quotes, he hemmed them again and made them like little booty shorts again, like something like that, where they had to just be like, hey, they're too tight.
Oh my God, Terrence. But season two is also one of your favorites. Do you want to talk about why you like season two?
Yeah, I feel like my main sort of like deciding factor when I was choosing like a favorite season definitely relied around the whole like Jung and Shannon thing because I feel like in that season was I think it was at a point where like maybe she was still dating what was that? I think Alejandro was his name.
Alejandro, yeah.
Yeah, when she was still dating Alejandro, and so to me it felt still kind of like realistic because it was kind of just like Jung's like her character that they're kind of flirty with, but she dates this like I just felt more realistic that like you know she doesn't end up with him, that she's just kind of like dating a regular guy or whatever. So that was kind of my main thing because I know in some of the other seasons it just gets to a point where it doesn't feel very natural, and which unfortunately you know it's a big part of the show. So that was kind of my deciding factor in choosing season two as my favorite was like when that whole relationship felt like the least weird in that season.
Okay. This is a good segue because you brought up Jung and Shannon's relationship. So I'm gonna mention two things that I didn't really like with the show, and that was one of them. And I'm not trying to hate on Janin, hashtag
I guess I know they would do
Janin,
like was it
hashtag Shung.
like Fun Drunk Shenanigans or something?
Fun Jun shenanigans. Okay, well,
Because she's like Shannon.
there's like a couple name,
Yeah.
Janin or Shung.
Yeah.
I'm
Their
not
ship name.
their ship name. I'm not trying to hate on this, but it just I wasn't a huge fan of their relationship arc, just because I guess it didn't feel like natural to me. It just felt kind of forced. From the get-go, we know she's got a crush on him, but she's professional. She's the manager. She's not going to act on anything. But she'll slip and say something, and then like she'll be like, "Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant this." Like
Yeah.
Shannon is awkward, but in a cute way, and I like that about her. But when it comes to Jung, I was just like we knew too soon that she had a crush on him. So like once you plant that seed, like
Yeah.
you just kind of expect it. So it felt too predictable to me that they were going to end up together. Yeah, so that was one thing I did not like about their relationship. I
Did you
guess
feel?
I mean they were kind of cute. I just wasn't really feeling it.
Yeah, I felt like towards the beginning of the show, I was kind of like, I would have been okay with it. Like, I think there was a point where, like, it seemed like she was gonna ask him out and then she didn't. And then all of a sudden, she ends up with Alejandro. And I felt like that was like their moment to put that in the show if they were ever gonna date. And then by the time it did happen, even like when they were together, like, it wasn't even like exciting for me or like at the point in the show where like she kind of floats getting engaged, I was like for some reason like I just don't see them doing that. Like I don't know, like it's just it didn't feel I wasn't getting like huge big like couple vibes like oh I want like I didn't feel like they were end game, you know?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Dang, I was gonna say something and then I forgot.
Oh.
No, that's okay. It was about Jung and Shannon. They were cute, but like it was too predictable. Didn't feel natural to me. But okay, I remember now. In real life, I mean, you really shouldn't be dating anybody you know in the workplace, especially your boss.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I
Yeah,
mean,
like, wasn't there was like that one episode where the regional handy manager came.
yeah.
I forgot what it was about, but like someone could easily write you up and then there'd be like no story there. So I think that was another reason why I didn't like their relationship that much, 'cause I mean, realistically, it's not a thing that
Yeah.
happens, and if it happens, it doesn't end well.
Especially if the boss, the manager is like a woman, it's like even more kind of like
Like there's a double
weird seeming.
standard. But Shannon herself is pretty cute and quirky. Let's see, one other thing I didn't like was so was it season three when they start having Chelsea around?
Maybe that sounds about right.
I think so. So Gerald starts dating this girl named Chelsea, and then like he doesn't have balls. So she kind of just like invites herself to be the third roommate. And her family is her family's rich, so she can afford to pay rent early. So she pays the rent to Janet, and Janet just takes it, even though she doesn't really like Chelsea all that much. And okay, so what I did not like was that Chelsea just seemed annoying to me. She didn't seem like a she was a minor character who just didn't seem like she added anything to the show. She was kind of just there because I guess the writers just kind of need something to fill up like a Janet subplot. Because like Janet's got her plots with her family, but and with Kimchi, but she doesn't really have a whole lot besides Gerald. And I do like Gerald actually. He's pretty funny too. In like this like nervous, awkward, like introverted kind of way. But like his girlfriend Chelsea, I'm just like, she's annoying. Those two together don't really make sense. But I guess if they need to write another character into the show for whatever reason, I suppose.
Yeah, like I thought it was cool that it was like, oh, okay, Gerald has a girlfriend, because kind of like you were saying, he kind of portrayed very like, kind of, I hate saying loserish, but I don't feel like they really portray him as a nerd either. But yeah, he's kind of just like has like always has kind of like a sad look on his face and is just very nervous. And then yeah, I feel like her character, like even just like the stuff that they would throw into her, Chelsea as a character to be like funny, it wasn't even really like jokes. It was kind of like easy laugh stuff, like the whole like she was always kind of like joking about like wanting to like cheat on Gerald kind of, or like always interested in flirting with other guys, which at one point I was like, you're just being shitty. Like it did start to kind of like, at first I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of funny, but then it was, but even then it wasn't like developing her character. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, that's weird, so let's throw it in there for it to be funny. Stuff like that that wasn't really like the actress really getting to like shine or like add like depth.
That's excellent. You hit it on the nail. She lacked depth as a character. Depth. Not death. Depth. I can't talk. It's the end of the day. Oh man. Okay. So this is a good segue into what you reminded me about earlier. Something that I didn't like in the last season, or I guess like end of season four or throughout season five. Like Gerald and Janet kiss, and it gets awkward
Oh
because
yeah.
he goes to he and Chelsea go somewhere for the summer, and then Janet goes to Tanzania, and then that's like all she talks about in season five when she comes back. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because if I went somewhere and had a like amazing experience doing something, I would want to talk about it too. But coming back into season five, I didn't know where the show was gonna go, like you said. Like it was kind of, they were trying new things, but it just didn't really hit the nail with us as the audience. Because like we eventually find out that Janet is starting to identify as bisexual. So there's this girl that she likes in season five. And I guess we never saw clues that Janet would be bisexual. So it just came out of nowhere to me.
For sure.
But I mean, I don't want to offend anyone, so I'm just gonna say like I'm just heterosexual cisgender person, so I've never had experiences like this. So maybe for some people, they just don't realize it until later on when they meet the right person.
But yeah, definitely, like, because even like in that part of the show where like Chelsea like kissed her that one time, they don't make it seem
Oh
like that's
my God!
any, you know.
I forgot about Chelsea kissing her.
Yeah, but like even then, you know, there's no like they didn't like add any music that was like, oh, this is meaningful. Oh, like, you know, it was very much just kind of like a funny thing that happened, and Janet was like, oh no, like what? Like this is weird. So even like you were saying, like there weren't really any hints to it, and then they didn't really expand on it. It was kind of just something she thought about talking to her parents about for maybe one episode, maybe like 1.5 episodes, and then we never got anything else, which I know it was like probably like the last, was it the last season or was it season? Yeah, so I guess maybe that was for time, but it was kind of like, I don't know, like why would you give us that if you're not gonna like expand on it at all?
Yeah, so I guess that was like three things I didn't like.
Yeah. And then for me, let's see. So for one of the things that I didn't like about the show was maybe also just for like 1.5 episodes, they brought in his like high school high school ex, which even is,
Who's high school ex?
oh, so sorry, Jung's high school ex, his high school girlfriend. She shows up in like 1 or 2 episodes like consecutively, and even like how Kimji describes their relationship, he describes it as like one that like definitely didn't have a lot of depth. They were kind of just like having a lot of sex in high school, and that's really it. But I in the show, in like the one episode that she's there, you know, they kind of have a thing where they go on maybe like one date, and it was kind of cool that they were able to bond over like their overbearing moms and how like word gets around when they're gonna date somebody. But then like they ended it in a way that made it seem like, okay, I guess they're gonna date now, but then they never did. So that kind of bothered me. And then also kind of like what we were talking about earlier, it's kind of just didn't feel very realistic that like, you know, his high school girlfriend, who he probably didn't even really open up with that much or like have super strong feelings for, all of a sudden he's like interested in her, but then it's like they never really have a relationship. Like, I don't know, it just felt very unrealistic to like real life, for sure.
And like I think, because this was in season one, so I think like I guess the writers were still trying to figure out what to do romantically with Jung, because obviously Shannon has a big crush on him, but they don't want them to hook up right away. And like if they do, they want to make sure like them getting together is like meaningful. So like he needed some sort of romantic interest in season one, and it was just his high school ex, and it only lasted like one or two episodes.
Even if it maybe lasted more, because I did like the whole like you know, him and her getting to bond over basically like showing, I guess, like the pros of like him being able to date somebody like from his culture, and like her understanding the whole thing with their parents, and like how it's like, oh, well, you know, my mom knows your mom's friend's owner of like the store or hair salon or whatever, like stuff like that. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. They're gonna kind of like make this a little subplot, but then like, yeah, like we never really even got like that. So it was just kind of like, I don't know. I was not okay with it.
Like it was a throwaway episode.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Was there were there anything else that you can think of that you maybe didn't like so much about Kim's Convenience?
Definitely the whole kind of like we were saying, like in the last season, they really threw out a lot of ideas, floated like a lot of ideas, especially I feel like in the finale, because I know they were kind of setting it up to seem like maybe Jung was gonna start running the store, and then they're like, no, but that would never happen. And then like, oh, like Shannon and Jung with Amazing Race, where like she wanted to get engaged, and then I don't know where she's like, oh, I have to break up with you, I'm gonna move. Like it just felt like there was a lot of like unknowns happening with the, and then like we were talking about like with Janet, like they that I don't know, they just started a lot of things and then it just ended. That was pretty much
I totally forgot about them breaking up.
it.
That's like a huge detail. How can I forget?
Yeah, that's the only reason that that spinoff seems kind of interesting, because she very much made it seem like she was going to go on some other kind of journey or wanted to like
That's like
learn some new
setting you up,
things.
yeah, for to for the spin-off. Yeah, for sure.
So at least she'll get some expansion on the stuff they threw out there for her at the end.
Yeah, and like we don't so I don't know any other details about the spin-off besides that Shannon is the lead, but like I wonder, like I'm assuming because it's a new show technically, she'll have a new job. So she's not going to be at Handy anymore, but like I am not sure like what else she would do
I feel like
professionally. And I also wonder, are we gonna see guest stars
I hope
from the
so.
previous show? Like I wanna see Kimchi again. Kimchi and Shannon have a good working relationship.
Or maybe because I know I think she was like interviewing for like a manager position at a different place, so maybe even if it were like a competing like rental car branch, that would be super funny, like
Oh my God,
and they're like enemies.
how did I not remember this?
It was like one scene where she's like on the phone and it's like, oh yeah, I'm still interested in the whatever position, I want a new adventure, and then the next frame she's in, she's like, bye Zhang, I'm gonna go do some other stuff, and that was really it. It's probably like a minute.
I feel like a terrible podcast host right now because I should have remembered that. That was literally the ending.
I mean, it's okay. I binged in like 2 months, so it explains that it would be more fresh in my mind.
So would you watch the spin-off Strays?
Yeah, I think for sure, since I still feel like there wasn't a lot of resolve with some of the storylines, and I was very curious about Shannon's, because kind of like you were saying, they set it up in a way that made it seem like there was more to the story. And even how she set it up, it just felt so left field that for that alone, I want more like explanation on like what's gonna happen with her.
Yeah, I hope they bring some of the characters in just to do like a guest starring thing.
For sure.
I totally get if they don't bring Jung back just 'cause he's the ex. And like, you know, it's Shannon's show. It's going to be about her journey. So, we don't necessarily want to bring the ex in right away. And plus, Simu Liu, like
Yeah,
he's
I'm
made
sure
it
now
big
he's,
now.
yeah, he's, I'm sure he's gonna be doing like, you know, a bunch of other stuff now, like probably on, I don't know, that what's the actor from Bridgerton's name? Who's like the Duke in the first season? Where like all of a sudden after Bridgerton, he was in like all these other things. I feel like he's gonna be like that. Or like,
Damn,
you
I
know.
forgot his name too. Reggie?
I feel
Okay.
like it was like three names.
I'm gonna look this up right now because I love Bridgerton
I would guess
and
like John something Page. I don't want to call him John Bell John because I know that's Les Mis.
Okay. The actor who played the Duke in Bridgerton is Regé Jean Page.
Okay, there we go. We were both right.
Now, I said Reggie. It's not Reggie.
You were close.
What's he in now?
I've just seen him like here and there in other like shows and things like that, but he probably has some big stuff coming out. I'm not much of like a drama show person, so I don't know for sure, but
now that's a lie because I know you were into revenge.
Oh yeah. That's true.
Okay, we're going off on a tangent. But just to wrap things up, Revenge was this awesome drama, kind of like a Count of Monte Cristo-esque story where this woman finds out that her dad was falsely accused of bringing down an airplane. So she's getting revenge on the people involved in that scandal, that crime, to clear her dad's name. So this show, Revenge, was on ABC for like 4 seasons. It was my shit. I would watch it every Sunday night.
It was so good. And it's actually on IMDb TV, which is free.
Oh, it's on Hulu again.
Oh, okay,
I think it was on Hulu for a little bit, and then they took it off, but now it's back on.
Okay, yeah, I've been wanting to watch it, because, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I rewatched the first 2 episodes, and I was like, man, this is good drama.
Yeah.
like I said, wrapping up Kim's Convenience, we hope everyone enjoyed the show and enjoyed listening to us talk about the show and about the characters, the dynamics, the immigrant experience, things that we loved and didn't like so much. Thank you, Marissa, for coming on to the Bingeables podcast. How are you feeling about your first podcast experience? You're a celebrity now.
I know. Yeah, I definitely feel better having done it. I was very worried I wouldn't have anything to talk about, just not being a very talkative person. But yeah, I'm glad I remembered stuff, because even though I binged it, I was like, I don't know if I remember anything. But
nah, girl, you did great. Alrighty, until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/BINGEABLESPOD.
You can connect with us on Twitter @BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.